This morning, I don't have anything up my sleeves of interest, but I do have something around my neck and also Father Joe that we want to take a moment to consider. The priest's stole. Back in mid-May, I had the privilege of taking one of our school-aged children here at St. John's through a First Communion class. And today, Miss Abigail is ready to receive her First Communion. Over those 5 weeks, we talked about a number of different things, all of which pointed toward the Holy Eucharist. But to make it a little more fun, we also did a few scavenger hunts around the church, looking for various church furnishings and communion vessels and other church paraphernalia, including vestments, with all the underlying purpose of trying to answer that ever-present question, not only in the minds of our children, but for many a Christian and non-Christian alike, that question of why do we do what we do? And one thing Abigail and I talked about on one of our church scavenger hunts that we found ourselves in the sacristy was about the priest's stole and how it's a mark of being a priest, simply, as well as part of a lovely seasonal colored vesture, which is worn by Father Joe or myself, or any other priest who is here celebrating Holy Eucharist or any other sacrament of the church. Yet there is more to it than that. I don't know if you've been to an ordination of a priest. If you haven't, and if you have the chance to do so, I highly recommend it. It's pretty amazing because there's this ontological change which occurs, a change of being, which affects who we are and the nature of our existence in the same realm as what happens at baptism and confirmation. And I would submit marriage as well, as you come in as a man and a woman and you leave after being presented to God and doing your vows and blessing as a husband and wife. There's an ontological change that can't be undone. And at an ordination with this change in being, there's also a change in liturgical vesture for a priest. After the laying on of hands by the bishop, along with many priests as you have available, the newly ordained priest is presented with a stole, with a priest's stole, and they kiss it, and they put it over their shoulders, or someone else puts it over them. And then often, there's accompanied this word from the bishop, who says, "Take thou the yoke of the Lord, for his yoke is easy, and his burden is light." Therefore, the stole is not merely an archaic 7th century liturgical prayer napkin, nor only a mark of being a priest, but also a representation of being yoked to Christ in a whole new way than before. Not having become more important, but being presented with a new and different and specific responsibility. Therefore, the stole is not only a symbol to others of who we are as priests, but also a visual and tangible reminder to all of us of the call and goal of every confessing Christian to be yoked to the very one in whom we claim to live, move, and have our being. I may be saying, "Father Christian, church vestments, not a great sermon. Come on, what are you talking about?" Well, it really is a reminder to us all, or it ought to be maybe, a reminder to me of why we do what we do. Why do we wear vestments? Why do we have colors for the seasons? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? So a little bit of glimpse for you guys, because it's been a long time since your First Communion class. I know, we all forget. But it also speaks to who we are and who we're called to be as humble followers of Jesus Christ, who are not deemed to walk alone through this life with heavy burdens, but rather to walk neck and neck with our Lord as joy-filled, redeemed children of God, if only we would take up his offer, take it seriously as he beckons us, saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in Jesus' day, these words of yoke and burden would have brought with it far more meaning, I fear, than it does today. For we have turned in our huge draft oxen and horse for those million-dollar gas-driven machines. But in Jesus' day, his listeners would have brought, they would have had much comfort as they would have began to think about in their mind that long wooden crossbar that ran across the back of their neck with the U-shaped piece that went underneath. And they would have thought all about the work that those two huge animals would be able to accomplish with ease as they worked together. And then to equate that with walking with God. Powerful. Amazing. And then to ponder the reality of a yoke that was easy and pleasurable, light in weight, music to people's ears of the day. For it contrasts that overwhelming burden they felt, trying to live up to the law with those 613 mitzvot that Father Joe mentioned. Was it last week, Father? But he talked about the mitzvot that we have in the Jewish law, the commandments given by God that all Jewish persons were to live up to, with all the other rules and regulations set forward by the Pharisees. Yet, beloved, the call to be yoked to our Lord is not totally lost on us. For who of us, when hearing these same words, "Come to me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you," from our old Rite One liturgy, after confessing our sins, being absolved, doesn't take solace and comfort in the knowledge that our sins have been put away as far as the east is from the west, bringing us back once again into a right relationship with God? It hits us all where we really are, if we're truthful with ourselves. And it cuts right to the heart of the human condition. For who of us isn't tired, stressed, burdened, in some need of forgiveness, in need of peace of mind, of rest, day in and day out? If you say, "It's not me, Father Christian," then you have had a really good weekend. A really good start to your summer of relaxation and fireworks and barbecues and retirement. Must be nice. But what about all the days in between those relaxing weekends? What about when retirement wears off and it's not fun anymore? The truth of the matter is, Jesus doesn't promise us a life free of burdens. Instead, he offers us to take his yoke. He offers us an opportunity to lay our burdens down at his feet and then to come alongside him for guidance and learning, for rest for our souls, for love in our spirit. To take the yoke of Jesus is to be emptied of all that weighs us down, that we may be filled back up to overflowing with everything that pumps us up, that lights us on fire, that helps us walk through all the seasons of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, it's been said that there are different yokes for different folks. So the question of the day is, what yoke do you wear? What yoke are you wearing at this moment? Are you one who wears the yoke of success, saying that I'm going to study more, study longer, work more, work longer, no matter what, even if my relationships, my family, friends, and church suffer? Maybe your yoke is a yoke of stuff. All I need is to make more and more money so I can get a bigger house, a larger boat, a new wardrobe, all the things money can buy. Maybe your yoke is the yoke of independence or pride. All I need is myself. I am all that I think about. I know the best way to do everything. I'm always right, and I will do whatever I want because I am my own master. Maybe your yoke is the yoke of being Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It, taking all of your families, your friends, your neighbors, your world's problems upon your own shoulders, that you will fix them all. Maybe your yoke is a yoke of unbelief, yet believing that you are a lost cause, too far gone, a lapsed Christian who barely steps into a church unless you're pulled along by someone else. If you're wearing one of these yokes, or maybe another one, today is your lucky day. Because legend has it that Jesus made the best yokes. And people would come from all over the countryside to get the best ox yokes that skill could make. In those days, as still today, shops would have signs over their doors. And it's been suggested that above the Joseph's family carpentry shop in Nazareth, the sign may have well said, "My yokes fit well." Choosing to be yoked with Christ means that sometimes we need to go into our room, shut the door, sit in our bed, kneel next to our bed, read our Bibles, say our prayers, utilizing those great prayers of the Book of Common Prayer, so we could find strength and comfort and wisdom for our souls. Sometimes being yoked with Christ means that wherever we are, we need to stop, find a quiet place without distraction, and just come to the Lord in prayer for confession, for renewal, for guidance in our day. Sometimes we might need to decide not to sleep in. Thank you all for not sleeping in today. Or to go out instead of coming to church. Or any of our other midweek activities, even if we don't feel like it. Or just simply, beloved, sometimes it means just brushing off all that is weighing us down and holding us back in Jesus' name. Acknowledging that we're holding on to something that we don't need to, that we can just give over to the Lord. And then step forward in the knowledge that there is a God who loves us and cares for us and continues to follow us wherever we are in life, hoping that we would just come to him who knows us inside and out, who even though we are sinners who deserve death, gave his life that we would have life, being bought with a price of his own blood. And that, beloved, that's the key, isn't it? That's the truth. That we are not our own. We have been bought with a price, and there is a God who loves us, who follows us, who beckons us to come to him, not only in times of crisis, but even more so when we're stressed, when we're tired, when we're busy, when we're frustrated, when we are angry, as well as when we're happy, joyous, and on top of the world, that we would walk with our Lord to do what is right, to have mercy, to walk humbly with our God. Walking humbly with our God as holy and set apart men and women who do things a little differently because we've been changed from the inside out. We continue to be changed as we receive the sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, as Abigail's going to do this morning. And as we're changed, we beckon others to come and to see as well. To come to taste and see, to see him who walks with open arms, open hands, who offers to us the best yoke of all, his yoke that fits well, that fits very well. What yoke do you need to lay down this day and pick up the one that fits us better than any others we could ever find? Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.